Today, the subject is the gospel of love and fellowship. Fellowship, not a word we use lots. Fellowship means a deep communion, a deep relationship with one another. It's a bit like, you know, sometimes you might say, g'day to someone. Shake their hand, how's things, how's tricks. We say stuff like that. Yeah, that's not quite fellowship, is it? Fellowship is where you go deep with someone, where you join in their life and be with them. And fellowship in this world is rare. Most people have a very surface level relationship. How are you? Emoji. Yeah, good. Emoji. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying. Very surface level. And people long to have someone just listen to them for a start, to be with them, to enter into the depths of a relationship that God made us for. Yep. You know you want it. Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about with this? I'm talking about the church. You go, hang on. That's not, isn't the church where you have a group of hypocritical people who look down at everyone else and you kind of stand in your building and you make a bit of polite conversation afterwards and get out of there because you've got your roast cooking or whatever else? No, I'm talking about the church as God made it to be. And I just want to say this. The church is really, really good.
No.
How about that? It's cool. Okay, I'm going to read from the Bible and then I'm going to talk for too long and then I'm going to come back to that Bible passage. But we're reading from Colossians chapter 3. Actually, I think I'm reading the whole chapter. But I want you to tell you what this is saying. It's saying Jesus has done something to restore us to God, and because of that, we're restored to one another and we live in a very certain way and we don't live in another certain way towards each other. It's all about relationships. So we got that there. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if any one of you has a grievance against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm going to pray. Father, just read a long passage which is from your word, and we are prone to distractions and to not hear, so we pray that your Spirit would work amongst us so that we would hear just what you have to say for us today through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. It is a good thing to talk about positive relationships because we live in a world that is fracturing, where people hate each other's guts all the time. You only put someone, doesn't matter what they put, just say you do social media and you put a sentence up there, you're going to have a group of people who love it and you're going to have a few people who get into you, and then it starts an argument, and everyone looks down on each other, opinionated, angry people tearing people apart. Is that true?
Correct.
Yeah. If you look at just the destruction and the breakdown of human relationships and marriages and families and society and crime and everything else, it's full on. Do you know that that's not how we were made to be? Do you know that's not how the world was made to be? God had a different plan. Now, sorry, I'm going to tell you a story, and hopefully somehow this will make sense. I don't often do this, but do you know that every Christmas at our house, we do something which is a bit different, apart from, you know, the normal Christmassy stuff. We have a T-shirt. Actually, everybody gets one. They're all the same. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Last year, everybody was in yellow. With some weird pattern on the front. If you want to see what it is, you've got to look at Nathan. It's not about the shirt. Hey, they're $5 from Kmart. It's about, I belong. There's a family here and we belong together, you know, and we're one, and we put it on and we take photos. But we've been doing this for a lot of years. And it's starting to be that way that now around the house, most people are often wearing T-shirts from the previous year or 20 this or whatever. We're always wearing this T-shirt. It's actually conceivable. It's true, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's because I pick out pretty snazzy T-shirts. When you wear these, you're part of the family. You belong. And I reckon it's conceivable that if we do this for the next 40 years, I don't cark it before then, about the only T-shirts we're going to have are those ones. Ones that make us belong. There's an underlying truth to that. We're a family. We belong to each other. We won, and family is wonderful, isn't it? I know you're thinking, yeah, but my family's a pain in the sometimes, and that's true too. But gee, they're good. And isn't it good to have an unconditional love from somebody? Now, when you've got that sort of love and support, it doesn't matter if the whole world hates you, actually, you've got somewhere safe to go. Is that true? You belong. Now, I'm talking about something very wonderful today, as I said, which is the church. That's gathered Christians. They've actually been given a shirt by God, not a cheap one from Kmart. They've been given one that cost a lot more. It cost the death of Jesus, and it's called in the Bible a robe of righteousness. It's a robe that you put on. Well, you don't put it on. He puts it on you, and you are perfected. You are white. A1 to who? God. There is nothing between you and God. He has accepted you fully. You belong to him. And within the church, you belong to each other. You're not your own. There is a community of love and encouragement and building up and caring for one another and crying together and laughing together and celebrating 70th birthday together. Even having surprise birthday parties. Maybe like, is that room somewhere down there? Yeah. That's cool. It's good. And in the dark times, someone to go to. We were made to be this. And we grow together. And more, we wear the shirts all the time. More and more, we become one. This is the church. Now, the church is not a humanly designed social structure to get people together to do what they've got to do to fulfill the religion and go home and know that it's all good with God. The church is not just some grouping that you've got to do, right? It's actually magnificent. It's God's people together. A body. And it reflects that we belong to him and we belong to each other. Now, that belonging gathered when we were saved, when we first believed. Okay, so the church is actually the grouping of people who have trusted in Jesus. A church member, as you say, a member of the body, a brother or a sister, you might call them, whatever you want to call them, is a Christian, and that is one who has trusted in Jesus. What do you need to trust in Jesus for? Because relationally, all of us have stuck our up at God and said, we don't want to go your way. Your way is not our way. We've got a better way. We're going to go our way. We can do life without you. Now, that's fine. Sometimes we can reject people. But if the person you're rejecting just happens to be the king of the universe, who made you and everybody else, kind of rejecting him puts us at a bit of a problem, wouldn't you think? Yeah? If he made you and you don't want him, you've got a problem. It's a big problem. The trouble is that God's ways are so good. God's ways are love. We say, we don't want to live your way, God. What are we going to do? Well, let's hate on each other. Let's tear each other to bits. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? God's way is faithfulness. What should we do? Well, let's do something different. What have we got? Unfaithfulness. That'll be helpful. God's way is truth. What should we do? Well, let's do lies. That'll be really nice for each other, eh? Yeah? You get it? We are really smart, aren't we? What we say is, God, your ways, just, we don't want it. We want our ways, which is heaps better. And our ways is just hopeless. Despising one another, looking down on one another. God's ways is humility. We like pride, because I'm better than all of you. Yeah, I know better. I'm smarter. Don't you know that? Yeah, that's pride. Rather than serve one another, which is God's way, we are selfish. The whole world's about me. Yep, look down on everyone else. Make them serve you. Rather than glorify God as the king of everything, make yourself the centre. All glory belongs to you. The problem with this is, as you can see, it causes huge problems, breakdowns and everything else in society and families, but that's not the root of the problem. The root of the problem is our rejection of God. It's treason against the Lord of all. Now, if you, say, rebel against Australia and say, I'm not coming under your government rules and police and stuff like that, you're going to end up in jail, aren't you? Well, so you should. You've said, I don't want to be in your society. So they say, right, we'll take you out of it. If you rebel against the God who made everything, there's actually a different punishment. It's called the punishment of death, which means physical death, yes, but there's a greater death. It's a death of separation from God forever. Loneliness, rejection forever. Put up your hand if you want that. Guilty before him. And the problem is that we have no plea. Our sins will deliver it. We've done it ourselves. We're helpless and hopeless to change it. It's not a matter of, just, I mean, we heard the story of the gramophone with the porridge poured down the back of it, right? It's not like she can say, well, I'm sorry about that. Oh, the gramophone's all better. Gramophone's still buggered. Not good. The gramophone's not good. Yeah. It's finished. The hurt and the damage we do in our relationships, they're done. We've done it to God. We've got no hope. And the consequences is guilt, shame, which affects everything. Our guilt causes us to shut down. If you're a teenager, you shut down on your parents. If your parents, you shut down on your teenagers. You hold off, you close down, you hide, never tell the truth. Guilt just, it causes us to become dead people. It affects everything. And there's no hope. There is nothing anybody can do to fix this problem. So you might as well go home now, eh? Except for there is somebody who has done something to change all this, and it is God. The hot, same holy God who says, the only people who are ever going to be in my family are the perfect ones. is the same God who is loving and gracious. So we couldn't fix the situation, but he did. He brought salvation by doing what? By sending his son to die for our sins. In other words, we'd sinned, he took the punishment. We'd done wrong, he took the blame. We'd done wrong, and in his death he gave us his righteousness, his perfection. Not us, him. That's the only way we could ever get there. If you want to get 100%, it's got to be given to you. Jesus took God's holiness, his holy anger against our sin, in our place. And he gave us the gift of forgiveness. Acceptance by God, bringing us into his family. And that comes to us when we do this. Trust in Jesus. Turn from ourselves, trust in Jesus. And give money, of course. That's a joke. Right? Because everyone, what they want to say is, to be a Christian, you've got to, trust Jesus and do this. No, no, no. Trust in Jesus, you got the Guernsey. You got the shirt, and it says, I belong to God. It's a good shirt. And I'm righteous, and I've been made perfect. You get that through him. We own up to God. We say, yes, we're guilty. We need Jesus to save us. And we get citizenship in heaven. Eternal life, membership in his family forever. Right at the start, you get the T-shirt. It's not God saying, right, look, I'm going to put you on a probationary period. 3 months, let's see how you go. If you get a little bit better than each 3 months. No, it's not God saying, if you reach a certain standard, you reach the standard as soon as you trust in Jesus 100%. You are already there.
Amen.
How good's that?
Amen.
Already there. Accepted by God. You won't get that anywhere else. This world lives on contractual relationships where if you give me something and if you do things right, then I'll accept you. This is a God who says, I accept you through Jesus already. You can turn to him. That comes from God's perfect mercy and grace. Now, we get a t-shirt that says, I'm going to heaven. What's heaven going to look like? Now, I know we get pictures of clouds and people playing harps and stuff like that, and that's good if you like harps. I think it would be better if we were on the clouds playing electric guitars. That is what I think heaven might be a bit more like, but let's see, we'll find that out. But I can tell you what it will be. There's a new heaven and a new earth where everything's made new. That means it's going to be real, physical. We're going to have real bodies. And with real bodies, you're going to be able to walk up to someone you love and you're going to be able to give them a real hug. And they're going to return the favour. And there's going to be no guilt or shame. You're not going to be thinking, oh, I don't really want to hug that person after what I said. Or I don't really want to hug that person after what they said. There's going to be none of that. There is a complete openness of relationship. In heaven, everything will be perfect. We'll have a relationship with God, with Jesus, with one another. There will only ever be loving and serving, caring and blessing and working together, and there will be never division or pride. That'll all be gone. Perfect fellowship. And there'll be no races and tribes and tongues. There'll be no divisions over all that. We're all together. And there'll be no divisions over, I find that person a bit annoying. I find you annoying. Different personalities, you know, there'll be none of that. Different worldviews and all that stuff. United together, still with our differences. The different races and language and tribes and tongues will all be there. But there'll be no divisions and hatreds and thinking they're better than anyone else and all that sort of stuff. It'll all be gone. That's what the new heavens and the new earth will be like. Now, that's a great picture, isn't it? And we want to be there. But what happens when you come to know Jesus is you get the T-shirt that says, that's my home. And then you get this fellowship of believers, which is the church, and you get a chance to start to live like that even now. Do you get that? The church is a gathering that looks forward to the big gathering at the end. And more we wear that t-shirt, more and more of our life becomes what? Serving one another, united, loving each other. It's a future hope, and the church reflects that now. As I say, the church is not just a way of holding a few people together and keeping the corporation going. We don't need that. It reflects Him. It's God's way of doing it together. So sometimes people say, well, don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Well, there's kind of truth to that, but God's way is church. It's a gathering of people who love each other. That's His way. Yep, reflects the future. I've heard people say, my church is the outdoors. It's like, well, it's good to be outdoors. You can worship God outdoors. That's cool. But the church is a gathering of believers, gathered caring for each other. Some people say, I can talk to my non-believing friend and that kind of church. It's like, well, that's called evangelism. And that's a good thing too. That's telling them about Jesus. But that's not the church. The church is a gathering of believers. Other people say, sorry, this is all people, this is all being said to me. This is not, I'm not making up stuff. My church is sermons on YouTube. And that's a really good thing to do. Listen to sermons on YouTube. I told you to listen to our podcast. Yeah. That's not the church though. It's a good thing to do. But you see, as together, when we're as gathered as a church and we hear the message and then we work it out with each other and we share it with love and we grow together, then that's the church in action. It's more than just hearing stuff. Another person famous we've heard say, my church is my concerts. He's like, yeah. Well, that's good. It's an encouraging time. Yeah, go to a concert. But what about the intimacy of relationships? You don't get that there. That's not what that's about. It's not just singing. Although singing and worship's great. Or some church services are kind of a performance. You go and watch. Doesn't matter whether it's really old and one of those big cathedral ones or whether it's a modern one where you get a big screen and you get a performance and you're the audience. That's not church. Church is the people together working out life together under Jesus, learning to love each other. And look, isn't it funny that, you know, the church, who'd put the people that are in the church together? They vote for different political parties, would you believe? And who cares about political parties? They put you open government. My goodness. Different opinions on almost everything. But one thing holds us together, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So what do we need? That other stuff is nothing. You get it? We are held together. The church is wonderful. It is all of those things. The church has singing. It has wonder and worship and awe, like you get when you're in creation. It has evangelism. It preaches the word. But through this is a group of people who are spurring one another on, meeting together, encouraging each other, more than just you listening to me. It goes on after that, doesn't it? God has saved people not just so that they're saved, not just so there is children, but so they have a gathered body that reflects heaven and it's going to be really good. And guess what? It's even good now. In other words, you've heard that the church is called the bride of Christ. How would it be if you say, I really love the groom, but I'm not much on the bride? Yeah, I don't think you should get an invite to that wedding. It's a love that's real. It's worked out. Now, when I say it's worked out through good times and it's worked out through hard times. It's worked out when there's arguments. It's worked out when there's deaths, when there's sickness, and when there's birthday parties. It's worked out through all of that. It's really good. Not to mention weddings. It's worked out through them. They're good too. We wear the t-shirt of where we belong and we know where we're heading. And we start working out what it's going to be there right now in the church, the fellowship. So you've been raised, back to that Bible passage, you've been raised with Christ, you set your hearts on the things above. In other words, your heart's not grabbed by the things of this world, because at the end of the day, they will disappoint you. They'll frustrate you. You might say, this is going to be the answer. When I get into this, it's going to be good. It'll all fall in a heap. It's nothing. But live, set your minds on the things above, on Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, put aside sin. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever tried stopping to do something that you're stuck doing? You know, they call it addiction. Yeah. It's like this. Just say to a teenage girl, right? Look in the mirror and say to yourself, you're beautiful. And they'll go, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. Say it 10 times, you'll believe it. You're beautiful. At the end of 10 times, do they believe it? You can't change your heart. You can't become this person who puts aside sin. You need someone to do it for you. You need God to step in. And the Holy Spirit, once you believe in Jesus, starts to change you and you become a different person. By him, not by you. You can't change yourself. So he says, put to death, therefore, what belongs to the earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's angry. You used to walk in these ways. Not anymore. That's who you used to be. You got a new identity. You belong to something new. So you must rid yourselves of such things as anger and rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Don't lie to each other. You've taken off that. And you're being renewed in the knowledge of the image of your Creator. You're being restored to who God made you to be. He's renewing us. He's transforming us. It's not us fixing ourselves up. He's doing it. So you see, all of these sins, and you know, greed and lying and what are the others? Sexual immorality, slander, run down people. They're all relational. That's the trouble with sin. Every time you do it, someone else gets hurt. And first and foremost, their sin's against God. So what he does is he fixes us up with him and then he fixes us up with one another. He can do it. He can take that sin out of our life. All sin's relational, but he does the forgiving and he causes that forgiveness to flow in one another. And then he says here, there's no Gentile or Jew. In other words, there's no races. He goes on to say, no barbarians or Scythians. None of that. There's no circumcised or uncircumcised. There's no religious ritual. There's no denomination that's going to put you right with God. There's none of that. There's no slave or free. There's no classes that are better than other, the upper class and the lower class. None of that. That's all gone. But Christ is all and in all. All the divisions are taken away and everyone can live together in the church. He reconciles us to one another by taking away our sin. Therefore, he says, now there's a new way to live. You've got rid of the old, here's the new. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. How about that? You are chosen by God and dearly loved by the God who made everything. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with one another. In other words, carry each other's loads. When one of you is down, carry their load by sharing with them, by being there for them. Forgiving one another if you have some grievance. In other words, let it go. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. He forgave us everything when we deserve nothing. So that's how we should forgive each other. And over all these, put on love. And that holds us together in perfect unity. That is how the church lives. It's not our doing, it's him. He forgave us. We forgive one another. We love because he first loved us. It's not about us. It's all about him. As we look to God, we can actually be honest about that. So I can be a pastor who can stand up and say, I think honestly I'm the greatest sinner in this church. We can own up to that. I think it's true, by the way. I'm not making up stuff to make myself look good. We don't have to be fakes. We don't have to be hypocrites. You know, hypocrites put on a mask and hide. We don't have to be that. We can go, yeah, I'm a failure. I fall down all the time. Who do we say that? Well, it's good to say it to the community of Christians who have the grace of God and the forgiveness and work it out. And we can hold each other up. We don't have to be perfect anymore. He's changing us, but it's not us. You understand? Our life is all about him. So, when people fall and fall again and stumble, well, there's people around to pick them up, carry them, the vulnerable, to remind them of the good news of Jesus. And when we're faced with someone who is a great sinner, and there's plenty of them in the world, eh? We don't have to go, "You mongrel. God, you're unworthy of God." We're unworthy of God. They're loved by God in the same way. If they get to know Jesus, they've got everything themselves. Do you understand? There's no one better than each other. We don't have to look down on anyone. We haven't pulled ourselves together. He's pulled us together. The Holy Spirit does this. And then to finish off, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace." There is a peace you'll get in God that you will not find in this world. People are anxious and frustrated and darkened. There is one way out of that. It's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One way. "Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." In other words, we're together and encouraging one another with gratitude in your hearts to God, thanking God. And whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Thanks to God through the Father. Because through him we're called children of God and we're called into this fellowship. I want to finish with one little Bible verse which has been one of my favourites since soon after I became a Christian. It's from Psalm 16 verse 3. It says, "I say to the holy people," that's the holy people, the saints, that's those who have trusted in Jesus, they've been made perfect through him. "I say to them who are in this land, they are noble ones, in whom is all my delight." There's a lot of delight in the church and in the people of God. I'm going to pray. Father, we've heard this message and we already know that you are working this out in our lives. We know that you're leading us to it. We know that you love your church, your bride, the fellowship, the love of believers. Father, work it out in us, we pray. Bring it to us. Bring it to life in us that we might love one another as Jesus called us to. That our care would run deep, that we would put ourselves aside as we care for each other. I pray that the fellowship of the church would become to us something so precious that we would delight in it above all else, as you hold us together and we delight in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.